Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini. Nothing to it, huh?
Sorry, I was having a little trouble getting on.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Technology never lets us down.
Or user error in this case.
All right.
So this, our assignment from yesterday, is there a duality operating that you can identify? Rearrange the voices on each side of the duality. Which aspect of ego do you see on each side, RL? Example, one side, you work hard all week. You deserve your weekends to catch up on what you want to do. Poor me. Second side, we need to show up for our community, civic responsibility. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Monica calling from
Hello, Monica.
The BART station. Hello. the two sides that I was just seeing is hope and despair. And it's funny to think about hope as being a voice of ego, but I think it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I think you're right, Monica. Say more.
Well, just that there's this, you know, why bother? Don't try to do anything. Or I'm like a superhuman who can fix everything in the entire universe. And I don't know, just like this idea that staying in hope is, I'm losing my thoughts about it. But,
well, may I?
Yes,
may I?
Do.
And then maybe this will trigger
you.
Because what I hear in what you're saying is that that duality is in the future. That's what makes it ego, right?
Right.
In the future, the world is going to end. The planet is going to be destroyed, and that's it. In the future, no, we can turn it around. We can save the planet. We can, and both of those take us away. So, the expression that we use is the process is the outcome. All we get is what we do. That's it. We're not doing what we're doing to get something in a future that doesn't exist.
Right.
Is that kind of where you're going?
Exactly. What I saw is that they both keep me from participating.
Yes.
In
exactly.
It by a different pathway, but the end result is kind of the same.
Yes.
And
because they both serve ego.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, another. It was also like I saw like gratitude. I was seeing like a, kind of a, maybe like a door number three, and I had a meeting with this organization called East Bay Permanent Real Estate Collective, and it was just like the most lovely experience ever, kind of like just being with people that are present and they're looking at the long game and then not trying to rush, and at the end of the meeting there isn't a to-do list and a next steps and a, you know, it's just like, yeah, well, we're not really in a big time frame crunch. Anyway, there was just something that I really experienced this, like, different way to participate and engage and be with people and be in community and be in the environment. And it was just, I don't know, I've never felt it except for at the monastery.
sounds kind of present. Is that the feeling you had?
Yeah.
Not losing sight of, we're here right now doing this.
Right.
And
a lot.
Yes. Well, and I project what you sense from that, what you see in that is the solution.
Right.
Running
right.
around being crazy and blaming people and finding out who's doing it wrong and being angry. That isn't what got us here. That's not actually
right.
the solution.
Right. I just want to out ego in one more way of just, yeah, that was kind of what I came to. It's like I'm doing everything right and everyone else is doing everything wrong. I mean, there's a huge aspect of blame in there that I engage in.
Oh,
and if I could just figure out who,
ego engages in, right? You're not there. Your contribution, Monica, is being the miserable human being subjected to that.
Right. The policing and the, yes.
Because it just focuses on you. Because, you know, okay, you're the right person, good, but you're also arrogant and judgmental and critical and not fun, right? Which is what ego accuses you of after it gets you to identify with it and be all of those ways.
Right. And it's either me being them or someone else being them, and there's no way out there.
That's right. There isn't. The only way out is here. Right.
Right. Yeah, I really, really could see it in that example, in that content. So thank you so much.
Well, you are so welcome. And fortunately, because we do this over and over with all this different content, we get to watch it all day long. Right? Because it's playing out that get a person into the past or the future, and we can make the miserable technique that ego specializes in, right? You'll see it, you see it everywhere with you and everybody else.
And we can convince ourselves that we're really working hard for the environment, you know, as we're standing in place, turning in circles.
Yeah, blaming everybody. That's my contribution.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so
figuring
helpful.
Out what everyone's doing wrong.
Right. like everybody isn't doing that.
Right. Yeah. It's really good to
Thank
see all
you,
that.
Monica.
Thank you. Okay, see you soon.
Go happy. All right.
Go happy.
Soon.
Bye.
Thanks, Monica. So I heard a couple of things in that was so so important to keep an awareness that ego often masquerades as the good thing. I think that was sort of the first thing that Monica pointed us to, that how could hope be an ego voice? And and that the clue is it's in the past or in the future, because in the present, you're just here with what is. But to recognize the masquerade of ego as ego is one of the hardest things we practice, because it masquerades in the voice of goodness, even though it's actually the exact opposite. And that's one way of recognizing it, future or past. And the second being that the outcome of being in a conversation is always a suffering process of low energy, of depression, of overwhelm, of not doing something because I'm listening to that conversation. And so to have concrete experiences, as you were exploring with Monica, between being in a conversation with ego and how that makes me feel versus being present in a conversation with other people looking at what we care about and how lovely that is.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing you pointed us to, which is the process is the outcome, it is engaging in caring, in a conversation about caring in presence that makes, that is transformation, not engaging in a conversation of blame, however we do it internally or other people who are internally doing it and therefore externally express it. That's not transforming anything.
Right.
It's just keeping us in relationship
Sustaining
with
ego.
But the whole but the whole masquerade is we're fighting for the environment, or we're fighting for poverty alleviation, or we're fighting for whatever social justice, but I'm in a conversation of blame that makes me feel despairing, rather than being present is what's going to transform everything and everybody, and from awareness what arises is good.
I don't know, this just keeps bringing, this whole conversation keeps bringing me back to the story of the old guy. He's really old, and he's planting a tree. Right. And somebody, it's, you know, what are you doing? you're not going to live long enough to see that. And the whole point of the story, obviously, is it doesn't matter. It's planting mm-hmm. the tree that matters, not what he's mm-hmm. going to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that because because practice's motto is living compassion.
Yes.
Transforming lives and ending suffering. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. The verb. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Alicia from Seattle.
Well, hello, Alicia. What are you seeing?
Well, I have a quite sort of similar experience as the last caller, although I have some, you know, what I chose for this month was actually looking at how I'm participating in our class, in this class, the retreat, mm-hmm. because I started to notice sort of similar feelings and words that come about when I do advocacy or other times when I'm participating, you know, in a community. And since we do this every day, you know, it comes up a lot. So I got to see how I get like it was even like, it felt like my own language. Like I need to fully commit. I can't fully commit. You know, this fully commit was coming in a lot. And then I also the other side of that I get to is that overwhelm of like, you know, you just probably taking on too much. You know, you just need to make sure that you're taking, you know, it's this like, and so as Ashwini was saying, you know, the outcome is just feeling bad. And so it's like, why, you know, looking at like, well, what's the feeling bad? And it helped me back up. And it was that fully commit that I was able to look like, well, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Right. Yes. What the does that mean? That is
right. And
it's so big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my doorway of like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do see it was very helpful. And we've had the conversation before, I think, on this class where it's that point of like, maybe it's, you know, perhaps it is true. You know, I could, you know, there's truth somewhere. But when I'm, it just feels like almost sort of the monster of egocentric karmic conditioning, you know, kind of lording over me these messages. And I can't, you know, then I'm just defending. You know, it's
right.
just it's a process of pain.
Right. Well, it's so perfect. What you're laying out is so perfect because that's it. So the conversation in the head is something that we are just not, we're programmed not to question. So fully commit. Okay. What a buzzy little combo of words, right? And certainly we all know what that means. You know, we don't. We have no idea what that means.
Right.
And for that reason, it can be used against us constantly. Which it's why when people are doing processes like goal setting, you know, you have to be specific. I'm going to get more fit is not a good goal. Because ego is going to take that over and just kill you with it. You know, I'm going to lose 5 pounds. I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week for an hour, and I'm going to, and you're very specific about what it is that you're saying, not these vague, amorphous kinds of phrases that ego can torture us with.
Yeah, and it has taken, it's so funny because I think, I guess culture, I don't know if it's culturally or it's just my karma, just this, that, you know, not even catching on to the words because they're so familiar, you know, it's sort of like the air I breathe.
Oh, absolutely.
Wait.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's so tricky to see, to get, it, when we talk about disidentification, to get any kind of distance between me and the language that is me.
Right.
Which is what you're seeing there. And so if we're smart, and we are, we learn to question everything. Everything we hear inside our head. Really? Is that so? Now, what does that mean? What does that mean exactly? Can you give me an example? Let's write that down. Let's record that and listen to it. Yeah? Because it's a brainwashing program that we deeply, deeply, deeply believe is me.
Well, and I'm so grateful. I mean, echoing, I think, what so many people say, there's something so powerful about the daily nature of this class.
Yep.
And it took a long time, but you keep showing up, and it's like, okay, now I can, I have this window or a door, you know, at least now I can walk through to continue to participate, you know, in the way I would like. But anyway, it's been great.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. You're right. It's the constant, and the reason that we have to be so consistent with our practice is that that system of ego maintenance is more consistent than we can even grasp in maintaining itself.
Right.
Yeah. Whispers to us in our sleep.
Truly. Truly. Yeah. And then the joy is like once you see it, I mean, not that you don't forget, but, you know, you've got the recording and it's like, it gets bigger and bigger, you know, what you've seen. So it's great.
That's right. That's it. That's it. Good for you. Thank you.
I think. Yes. Thank you.
Go happy.
Thank you. Go happy.
Thanks, Alicia. There's so much in that, Sherry, but the thing that I just really caught onto was that place of a standard that is just set out there, wholeheartedly participate, fully commit. What does that mean?
And us
not pausing to go, well, what does that mean? There's supposed to be an implied understanding of it. When we don't examine it, we just feel bad, as Alicia was pointing to. But then you do something like show up every day for a class like this, how is that not fully committing?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you how, Ashwini. I'll tell you how. Because Alicia missed a class.
She missed
a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And there. That just wipes out. It doesn't matter if she participated for the last 40 weeks, 5 days a week, and did her assignments on the weekend. She didn't show up because she forgot. Well, there it is. See how you are?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that the reason we get bamboozled by that is because there's an it does not have to define what fully committed is, which is it can pull out anything in the content of your life to reveal how it's not so. But if we catch on, if we're very specific about what commitment is, or whatever it is, then it's easier to catch on to the fact that there's not a broad canvas against which anything can be held up against. And that's how it does it to us, right?
Yeah.
Everything is abstracted in the standard and unexamined, and therefore any act is an act of transgression, only because it was never defined in the first place.
That's right. And if we realize it's doing that process that you just laid out, with dozens, if not hundreds, of pieces of content.
Yeah.
I mean, we can see that we were doomed.
From the very beginning.
From the very beginning. We were meant to fail our way until death.
Yeah, yeah. But to get specific, because life is so specific. It's marvelous in its detail. And I think that's the reason why paying attention to here is so difficult for most of us, because we're so trained only to live in the abstraction, not in the attention to the specific moment.
Yeah. Well, this is boring. Yeah. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Susan from Murphy's.
Hello, Susan. What are you seeing?
So, So I've been practicing with two things. One is the everything is the Buddha, and the other is, or of course, Jesus. Or the other.
I was
going to
say,
the,
a good Christian girl like you, I'm going to tell.
I know.
You.
This time the Buddha's working for me. So anyway, the other
They're
thing.
They're a tag
is,
team, Susan. You know they are.
We both know that. So, yes, so the other thing is being open to, you know, being of service in some way in the community, in my neighborhood. I like the neighborhood idea, you know, something right here, local. Mm-hmm. So, but the thing that I've really gotten excited and confused about, because, you know, the assignment today, okay, so with everything as a Buddha, I was sort of practicing it as you guys were talking, and I put myself in the queue, which is, gosh, it's just such a challenge for me. I get so nervous. So I thought, okay, if everything is the Buddha, then this anxiety that I'm feeling right here, this kind of heartbeat and the breath shortening, and then I thought, and then if everything is the Buddha, I'll just listen to the people talking on the phone, because that's the Buddha talking, and the birds right outside. Oh, now I'm back to the, you know, the nervousness and the, so as I've been practicing it, I've had this experience of if there is no ego. So, and I don't know what that means, except that when I'm not, this is what I've seen. And then if you could just tell me what you've seen about this. So when I'm looking from that perspective of this is it, everything is it, everything is it. It's like the thing that would name ego and then beat me up for having one, because those seem to go together. I can't just a lot of the time just be observing, oh, there it is. There, you know, and I don't mean like rationalizing or justifying or negating, which can come right in after. So anyway, there has been this, wow, I could just live. Quite honestly, like I could just live. And everything that happens in this system could be okay and seen at the same time. And while I'm doing that, I just see the next thing to do with it. So anyway, and,
well,
yeah, so just tell me what you notice.
Well, see if this is where you're headed, okay? So when you're here, there are no boundaries. There are no lines between things. When you go into conditioned mind, when ego takes over, and remember, you know, we talk about that as an illusion of being separate. So we could say an illusion of being out of the presence of God. Now, that's not possible. There is no such thing. But once you buy into that illusion that you are separate, now you're in a dualistic world. Now you have to figure out, is this good? Is this bad? Is this right? Is this wrong? Should I be feeling this? Shouldn't I be feeling this? And once you're in that orientation, that's all you're ever going to get. Okay? So if you put on pink glasses and step into a pink room, you're going to see pink. Okay? Because that's where you are. Okay? You come back to the present, and there is no duality.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start using that language, because I think, you know, that pseudo Zen thing, I think it's really got this language down. And so, if I were to, I mean, not all the time, of course, but if I were to just use that, okay, I am an illusion of a separate self. That's what's going on right now. I am an illusion. You know, that when I say ego, it seems to be right after that, it starts to build on itself. Yeah, there you are. Identified once again, you're in ego. And that means bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Susan, the thing that we're practicing to get is that you could not know that if you weren't in awareness.
Okay, so tell me this. Okay, so tell me this, though. So the thing I've been seeing that's a little, and I don't know what it is exactly, but what I thought you were going to say is I can't see ego unless I'm in that and projecting that.
No. You are in awareness. So it doesn't matter. So you look outside, and I haven't been home in forever, Susan, so I don't know when you look outside what the heck you see. say there's a tree in the yard that's turning because it's getting cold, okay? The leaves are turning. So yeah. You look outside, and there's the tree with the leaves turning, and that is so. And then you hear a voice saying, well, what you really need to be doing is the dishes. And that is so. And then the phone rings, and you realize the phone is ringing, and that is so. It's only when you step out of that awareness of everything as it is and move into, okay, well, what is the right thing for me to be doing right now? Now you've moved into the illusion of being separate from life. Now you're in the world of duality. Now you're suffering.
Okay, so I'm having difficulty with this being in the present. You know, so there I am looking out the window at the tree, and the leaves are changing. And since I'm practicing, everything's the Buddha. So I'm the Buddha's watching, and the Buddha's seeing those, and then the thought comes in, wow, I really need to be doing the dishes. And I think, oh, okay, that's true too. It's difficult. It's being difficult for me to, I'm so used to judging things as ego.
That's
maybe
right.
That's the thing.
Okay. There you go. And so I was gonna say, we were talking somewhere, maybe here recently, about life is all that life is. Okay. Life is, old age, sickness, and death. Life is changing seasons. Life is this, you didn't get the whatever it is that you were hoping for. People get sick. People die. All sorts of things are happening in life. We suffer when we believe there's something wrong. It shouldn't be this way. So when you are looking at ego, the illusion of being separate from life, which is part of being human. If there's nothing wrong with that, it has equal weight with the leaves on the tree turning or the fact that you're aging, okay? If you get involved with the leaves turning is right, ego is wrong, now you're in trouble because you have left awareness.
That's what I must, I must be involved with that. I like how I feel when I see the leaves changing. I don't like how I feel when I see the wrinkles.
That's right. And so you've left awareness to become identified. And as you're noticing, it's fast and it's slick at pulling us into that dualistic world of conditioned mind.
And very slick because then I see it. Oh, we got to go. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Well, I do think we need to, but we will continue this conversation.
Yep. I'll keep trying to get the guts up to call in. I will keep calling in and I'll keep looking and making recordings.
That's right. You'll stay in awareness because awareness is not at all intimidated by a heart that's pounding and breath that's shortening.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's just noticing. Leaves are turning, wrinkles are happening, heart is pounding, breath is shortening, talking.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Susan.
Gotcha. Thanks Ashwini.
Thanks, Susan.
Gotcha.
Well, we do get to really the core of what spiritual practices on these calls, right? In a few moments.
We do.
And which is why it's always a longer conversation.
Yeah.
But it's exciting
to keep practicing. Yeah.
Yes. Well, and that daily, that constant practice assists us to get to the heart of everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's what Alicia was saying, right? It just the door, it cracks. There's a little crack. We see some light. Then we stay with it. It's the little light's a little brighter. The door's a little more open. Pretty soon, we just walk right on through.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Here's our assignment. Can you see how the voices are framing your choices to ensure that you never win? Example, if you don't participate in that project, you're not in integrity with who you say you are. If you participate, you won't have any time for yourself. You so need the downtime.
What are the two choices the voices offer you? RL, what you see.
And let's not forget the don't take anything at face value,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
I'm not going to mm-hmm. assume that I know what that voice in my head is saying. We're gonna get to the bottom of it. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, now what do you now specific? No, specific. Give me an example. What do you mean by that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's gonna be fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ashwini. Thanks,
Thank
everybody.
You, Sherry. Go happy.
Go happy.